If you would, please turn to Acts chapter 20:20, and I want to begin reading in verse 28. Walter, I think you mentioned this last week and kind of get in my head, at least the last part of it. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And I'm going to stop right there, because it's a good place to stop. My title is Watch and Remember. Watch and Remember. Now, this incident here is the last meeting between Paul and the Ephesian elders. It takes place not in Ephesus, but in Miletus, which is, Ephesus was a city of Ionia, and Miletus is another city of Ionia. So they're fairly close, evidently. But Paul called these fellows to him because he wanted to speak with them one last time. He said, I'll probably never see you again. And he was right. Unless they visited him in Rome. He didn't see any of these people anymore, face to face. He did write them a nice letter. A real nice letter. But he called to speak to them about the present, actually the past, the present, and the future. And I can tell you this, believers are the only ones that have a future worth talking about. Now, in this meeting, you'll see, if you read the whole thing, and I'm going to go back just a little bit, Paul told these elders three things. First, he told them what he had done while he was there. Secondly, Paul gave them a warning about who and what was coming. And the third thing was he told them two very specific things to do. Paul here was acting in person as their shepherd, as their minister, one last time. Like I said, he's never going to see him again in person. And here, I believe we have what we call a textbook illustration of what it means to be a minister and what ministers are to do and to say. Yes, believers have some things to do. I mean, we try to be very plain about that. People will call us antinomian because we believe salvation is totally by grace without any help from man. And we do. And we preach it. Walter's message last week on the election of grace was wonderful. I didn't have anything to do with the election. I don't have anything to do with grace except receive it. And the only reason I receive it is because he gives it. And his grace he gives to whom he will. We are very clear on that. But James is always clear. Also, faith without works is dead. Now, a lot of people like to throw that up in your face and you say, amen. That's true. But if you read James, and if you read the context, he's not talking about you showing God your works and he's approving of them. That's not what he's talking about. He says, You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Okay, there's a saying. When all is said and done, more is said than is ever done. That's the way it is with a lot of religion. There's a lot of going about, but there's no doing. And what they're doing is not anything that's in this book. James wrote it, faith without works is dead, and that's just as true as this. Works without faith is also dead. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. But we are His workmanship, created unto good works. And it's ordained that we should walk in them. There's no such thing as faith without the resulting works. And I'm not talking about the religious works of this world. But I'm talking about what He puts in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And number one among them is believe Him. But anyhow, Paul started out in verses 18 to 21. You can see it. He told them what he had done. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Paul is saying, you know how I came, you know what I did when I came, and you know I was the same all the time. Paul was not two-faced. He was after the same manner all the time. That's very important. Because there should be, and there is, a consistency with the people of God, and certainly there needs to be a consistency with the ministers who are sent to minister to the people of God. And hear what Paul says. Serving the Lord. If you're not serving the Lord, you're not the minister. Amen. With all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. I had problems. I had opposition. And boy, did he. We don't have opposition like the Apostle Paul had opposition. And to be honest, I really don't want it. I'm cool, you know. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You saw my manner, you heard my words, and I preached the gospel to you. It says for 3 years. It says it later on. And I preach repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. I served you as a minister from the first day to the last. At all times. In all seasons. And I told you everything profitable. Publicly and from house to house. Again, Paul's not two-faced. He didn't have a public message and then a private message. It was the same gospel.
Right.
Repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What did he tell them? And another one, Corinthians. I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah.
This is the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And it was the ministry when he was with Ephesus for 3 years. He told them what he had done, established his bona fides, if you want to. But these guys knew him. But then, in verse 28, he starts with a bit of a warning. Take heed. Take heed. Therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. These are some general instructions. We'll get to the specific ones later. But he says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. There is a difference between the minister and the flock. There's a difference. There's a difference of job, vocation. There's a difference of responsibilities. And he was talking to these elders here in Ephesus. He told them, this concerns the flock, and this concerns you. Now, one reason for sure is because the minister is part of the flock. If you're not a sheep, you can't be a minister.
That's right. Amen.
The elders from Ephesus were part of the flock. And then he says, hold the counsel of God. That's what I put. Take heed. Hold the counsel of God. I preached unto you all things that were profitable to you. Hold the counsel of God. Well, is it? There. Verse 27, right before this. Excuse me. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed. Take heed of this counsel. Take heed of the words of the Lord. Take heed of the words that I have spoke to you. Take heed of the manner in which I was with you. And to all the flock, take it unto yourself, but also take it unto the flock. Pay attention. Bring it to yourselves. Keep it in your hearts and minds. And I like the way he put this. He says, to yourself and to the flock. Because, yes, it does say it. The flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. That's plural also, Walter. How about that? To feed the church of God. But you have been made, these men have been made overseers of the flock. But you got to take heed to yourself before you can take heed to somebody else.
Yeah.
That's just the way it works. I can't preach to you something I don't know. I can't give a warning if I don't know what the warning is. I can't preach a text unless I know what that text means. At least to some extent. I'm not going to know everything about it, but I do the best I can with what I've been given. Yes, I'm an overseer, but yes, I am also part of the flock. I've got to learn same as you people. There's no difference that way. And I have to know what I'm talking about. At least I really should. Know what I'm talking about before I try to present it to the flock. Now, I know many try, and I'll tell you this just for free, you can see it on television every Sunday morning, because I wrote this down, you know, because of what Earl used to say about Sunday schools, that fellow told him. On television on Sunday morning, it's Sunday school on a much bigger level. There's a bunch of people out there that don't know anything about God, trying to teach a bunch of people who don't care anything about the true and living God.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. They care about their God.
Yeah.
Oh, they care maybe very sincerely about their God. But the fellows that are preaching to them don't know anything about the true and living God. And the ones that are listening don't want to hear about the true and the living God. But my job here is to speak the counsel of God that he has revealed to me, to you. And concerning this passage, this scripture, I have a responsibility here to myself, but also to you. Not as an overlord, but as an overseer. And there is a difference. We are not lords over God's heritage. But I have to know what I'm talking about before I can say it. Because what I'm to do here is told me by the Apostle Paul, feed the church of God. Feed the church of God. Now I did look, this word feed is not just give food, this feed is tend. That's what the word means. To tend as a shepherd, to take care of, to be concerned with, to help and to fellowship with. A shepherd is supposed to spend a good bit of his time with sheep. And the shepherd is not above the flock. There is no clergy or laity here. There's no difference between my salvation and your salvation. There's only one salvation. Just as there's only one gospel, there's only one faith, there's only one baptism. Because there's only one Lord. But the word feed here means much more than just feed. But it does include feed. And oh yeah. It is the church of God. And he did purchase it with his own blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is said to be the blood of God. They make light of this in other places. And on television. But I'm here to tell you, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
Amen.
What's that mean? Well, without shedding of blood, there is no purchase. What Paul says here, he hath purchased, and he purchased it with his own blood. You're not purchasing anything with anybody else's blood. There's been all kind of bloodshed all throughout the world in the name of religion for whatever reason, and it's not of one single bit of value. I've been watching them on TV, on the news, and they're having that discussion about radical Islamic terrorism. Now, I'm not going to get political because I'm going to get religious here. Okay? I ain't worried about that part of it. They don't like it. Some of them don't like it because what it does is it throws some Islamic people in a bunch with a bunch of people who really aren't all that Islamic. They're just really violent terrorists. Okay? That's their discretion. Well, I feel the same way about that when I look back and I see, oh, the Christians went through the Crusades and killed all them Muslims. Now, trust me, folks, they still remember that history. They still teach that history. But I'm here to tell you right now, that wasn't Christian folk, that was Catholic.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And I don't care whether you like it or not, that's the facts. Because you look in your history books, well, a lot of times whenever it says Christians did this, Christians did that, it ain't the Christians, it was the Catholics.
Right.
And y'all can take that with a grain of salt.
Right, that's a fact.
That's just the way it is. But without the shedding of his blood, there was no purchase of his church. But that's also true. With the shedding of his blood, his church was purchased. Past tense. It's done. There's no more blood of his going to be shed either. That redemption is complete. That redemption is done. He offered once his offering to the Father, and the Father said, sit down, you're done with that.
Yeah.
There's more to come, there's more to do, but right here, sit down till I put your enemies under your feet.
Yeah.
I'm going to make your enemies your footstool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Then Paul continues on, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Here's the warning now. He's telling you, take heed, pay attention to what I've said and what I've done. But here's the specific warning. After my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. You understand, there are wolves coming, is what Paul said. He didn't say they might come. He didn't say maybe they'd come. He didn't say they could come. He said they shall.
They shall.
And boy, was he right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you hate it when he's right. Because grievous wolves are grievous wolves.
Yeah.
And the word there is burdensome wolves. Guess what? A shepherd is not to be a burden to the sheep.
Right. Amen. That's right.
These are wolves in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that elsewhere, but it doesn't say it here, but that's what we're talking about. There are grievous wolves coming in and trying to take from the sheep. The shepherd is not to be a burden. And you can take that however you want to. These wolves will be a burden to the sheep if the shepherds aren't on guard. The minister is to minister. What did he say here? Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. That's the way a shepherd's supposed to work. You're serving the Lord by serving the flock. A minister is to minister unto the flock. He's not to be a burden. These don't spare the flock because they're not trying to spare the flock. That's Paul's point. They're burdensome wolves because they want to give you a burden. It's an old adage, an old saying. It's called fleecing the sheep. And it used to be, in the old black and white movies and television shows I used to watch, they talk about somebody trying to fleece someone. That's what they said a con man would do to a person. He'd fleece them. That's what these men want. They want what the sheep have. They want to be a burden because they want somebody to carry their burden. They don't spare the flock because they're not trying. And the shepherd is supposed to put the flock before himself. That's what it means to minister. You put the welfare of the sheep before yourself as an overseer. That's the way it's supposed to be. Our Lord Jesus Christ called himself the Good Shepherd. And what did he say? I lay down my life for the sheep. He told them, I didn't come here to be ministered unto. Jesus Christ said that. The Lord of glory, God manifest in the flesh, did not come here to be ministered unto, but to minister. And that ministering of the Lord Jesus Christ included the sacrifice of his life and the shedding of his blood. What? For the sheep. The good shepherd came here to minister to his flock. He called them my sheep. He called them my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. These grievous wolves are not here to spare the flock. But he didn't stop there. These were talking about some coming from without. And here it says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. There are wolves here. There are wolves all around us. Peter said it. John said it. John said the spirit of Antichrist is already here. Peter said, there are false prophets. There were false prophets in the Old Testament denying the word of the Lord, speaking against the prophets of God. And guess what? There's false prophets now doing the very same thing.
Amen.
And we are surrounded by them. And what does it say here that wolves do? Now, this goes for the grievous wolves and from the outside and the ones that arise from the inside. They speak perverse things. There is danger to the church from within and without. There's danger to the sheep. Now, we do have the good shepherd over us. But we are to take heed as overseers. And you are to take heed as sheep against wolves who what? Speak perverse things. And we've had people come here, and we've had people go, and we've had people brought up in here, and we've had them go too. And I can tell you this, where it all lies is in what is said from this pulpit.
Right.
It's reinforced by what y'all talk about at dinner time and stuff like that, and by our fellowship together. But here's where it lies, right here at this pulpit.
Right there.
Now, I'm not saying I preached anybody out, but sometimes, see, there were people that came here who wanted to speak. And Earl didn't let them. Walter didn't let them. And I didn't let them because we didn't know them.
Right.
We are very careful. And always have been, and will try always to be, about who you let behind this desk.
Sure.
Not that it can hurt you, but we want to make sure it helps you.
Yeah. Amen.
And there are some people I won't listen to. Why? Because we're afraid people you don't know will speak perverse things.
Yeah.
They'll preach another gospel. They're doing it all around us. They preach another gospel all around us. And it's not another. What is it? It's a perversion.
Amen.
Second Corinthians. I'll say it right here in a minute. Chapter 11. I want to read just a couple of things because I want to tell you who these wolves are. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And one day I'll get there. Oh, I had it marked, dopey. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, they can be transformed into ministers of righteousness, but I can tell you this, it won't be the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ that they preach. Oh, they'll preach a righteousness. They'll preach a righteousness. Just like a few weeks ago, Walter preached that message where he said, guess what? Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I'm not saying there isn't a righteousness, but it's not his righteousness. It's not Christ's righteousness. It's not God's righteousness. It's anybody else's, but it's not theirs. It's your righteousness, they might preach, the righteousness of man. And sometimes they have a tendency to speak really highly of themselves. They know nothing of the righteousness of God. And according to Paul here, they are the ministers of Satan. And their end shall be according to their works. That's where grievous wolves end up. They're out there, and Paul warned them, they could be in here. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Because it can start small and it will grow bigger. Debbie and I were talking yesterday about what all came out of what was originally called the Primitive Baptist Church. I think it just used to be the Baptist Church. But the Campbellites split, and you have Reformed Baptists, and you have regular Baptists, and then you have Independent Fundamental Baptists. But all of this stuff all came out, and it all come out, and it all split off primarily from what was said behind the pulpit.
Yeah. Amen.
From a perversion of the gospel.
Yeah.
Because you look at them and you'll see how far they have drifted from what this book actually says.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be divisional. But that's just the way it is. That's what happened. Earl used to say, I can take you to the place and spit where Alexander Campbell left the Baptist church. Now, I can't take you there because I haven't been there, but I don't worry about it. I know what they preach now. I heard them. It ain't the truth of God in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now we get to the specific warning. Therefore, watch and remember. that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now here are the two specific things he told these Ephesian elders to do. Watch and remember. To watch means to keep awake, to pay attention while you are awake. Watch what? Well, in this case, it's two things. You got to watch what, but you also got to watch who. He didn't give them his history here just for no reason. You need to watch the manner, and you need to watch what to say. We are to watch those that come in, and we are to watch those that come up from within. That's the way it is. Because they have come. They've come before, they'll come again. And they've come up before, and they'll come up again. And it says, watch. Watch for them, and watch what they say, because a little leaven does leaven the whole lump. So it starts with little things. It always has. And some had been with us for years. Others not so much. Paul came, he said it, in humility, in serving the Lord. Not boasting of himself, but boasting of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch for them, watch for their manner, and watch for their words. Paul preached repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Paul preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul preached just like he wrote. Because Paul exalted Christ. And in so doing, when you exalt Christ, you're putting man down about where he belongs. Wolves speak perversely. And they will exalt man. They'll exalt themselves in particular and man in general. I still remember that sermon, who was it? Jimmy Swaggart preached when he gave his outline. And the third thing of his outline was this. Free will is your passport to salvation. I'm going to tell you something, that passport ain't going to get you anywhere. That's what I mean by perversion. Because if it ain't God's will, it's not going to happen. Well, God willed if you will. No, the Bible doesn't talk that way. The Bible doesn't say anything close to that. It says He's in the heavens and He's done whatsoever He hath pleased. Jesus Christ came and said, I came to do the will of the Father. Watch, therefore. Watch. And then He said, watch and remember. These are two things. Remember what? Remember Paul's manner. Remember what Paul said. Remember the gospel. Remember the Lord who purchased His church with His own blood. Remember that Paul preached all the counsel of God. Not just the parts you like. What did Paul write to the Ephesians? The letter he wrote. Well, he wrote the election of grace from before the foundation of the world. He wrote the predestination of the people of God in Jesus Christ. He wrote the redemption of His people whom God purchased with His own blood. And He wrote of the mystery of His will to do His pleasure according to what? His purpose. Amen. Paul preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. Anything less is a perversion. You understand? Paul wasn't dumbing anything down for anybody. He did speak to all men where they were. He didn't speak to the Jews the way he spoke to the Gentiles. He didn't speak to the Gentiles the way he spoke to the Jews. Because we are Gentiles, but this is different, okay? when Paul was speaking to Gentiles here, he was speaking to idol worshippers. If Ephesus was the city of Diana, great is Diana of the Ephesians. They had the great temple of Diana. That was one of the seven wonders of the world. I've seen pictures of it where they drew what it was supposed to look like. Massive building with these huge pillars. And I mean, there was like hundreds of these pillars. And now, you can get a picture of it now, there's one pillar left. That's all there is. But Paul was speaking to these people. He didn't speak to them the same way, but he did speak the same message. Nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Remember what Paul said. Remember his manner. The humility, the serving of the Lord, the taking care of His flock. But I also want to state this very, very plainly if I can, because it is watch and remember. We have to realize that it is both. You can't watch so single-mindedly that you forget to remember. And you can't be dwelling on so much stuff remembering that you forget to watch. He wants to do both. I do want to mention this. This is not a license to ostracize or to offend. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I may have, but I'm not trying. I'm not saying we have to agree on every single thing, because there are times when we haven't. But watch the manner. Watch what people say. Walter and I haven't always agreed on everything. And Earl and I didn't. But I believe that he preaches the same Jesus Christ that I know. I believe Earl preached the same Jesus Christ that I know. This is not something to say, well, if you believe, and we got that letter, Paul, if you believe that anyone in an Arminian church is saved, you're lost. It's not what we're talking about here. We are talking about watching and remembering, but it's what we're looking for is perversion, not a difference. This is not a license to ostracize and to offend people. Apollos in Acts chapter 18 came to Ephesus. And he spoke with passion and he spoke as best as he could, but he only knew at that time the baptism of John. So Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and expounded the things of the Lord more clearly to him. Earl used to have a saying, do you have an interest in these things? In these things. Walter and I didn't agree at all when we first started talking. He was preaching in an Arminian church. But we still talked. Because he had an interest in these things, and I had an interest in these things. Paul talked with some others. All they knew was the baptism of John. And he told them of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that John was speaking of that was coming has come. We do have to know the same Jesus. Watch and remember. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the work of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. There's a reason we come to preach here every week. And Walter, I believe Paul's right here. We come to declare the counsel of God. That's what we try. We come to warn. I don't like being negative. One of the reasons I don't like being negative about stuff, preaching against stuff, is because it's really easy to get fired up about it. But sometimes you have to. And there are warnings to be given. There are things to watch for, people to watch for, and we always need to remember the one who purchased us with his own blood.
Amen.
That's why we come here. And that's why I'm here today. And by God's grace, that's why I'll be here next week. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time and this place, but most of all for your word. Thank you for what you have given us. Your gospel, your message, your life, your blood that was shed. Everything we have been given by the Father has been given through you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for all these good and perfect gifts. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.